Yeah, so let's have Dave and Pauline and Jerry. We'll come up here. And we're just going to have a little conversation before Ricardo preaches. We believe in honoring the history of this place. We love history. History, when you study history, it teaches you things, right? And so we who were not here, we want to learn. We want to learn, and we want to honor the blood, the sweat, the tears, the effort, the prayer that these people and so many others put into this body. It's no easy thing. You know what? I forgot to get my scrapbook. Linda, would you mind getting me the scrapbook on the table there to the left? Thank you. I want to read something just to start off. Yes, thank you. Hi, guys. I dragged them up here. Pauline said they are the least talkative group. Please take a look at these scrapbooks this month. A Planting of a New Church, 1980, Upper Room Chapel, Chesapeake. As population mushroomed in the southern Hampton Roads cities of Chesapeake and Virginia Beach in the mid-1970s, the Holy Spirit began nudging some members of the Mount Pleasant Mennonite Church in Chesapeake to begin another Anabaptist, Christ-centered worship location. Several families who lived in the Brigadon and, am I pronouncing this right? Charlestown areas of Virginia Beach requested that Virginia Beach be considered. At the urging of Bishop Philip Miller and Pastor Robert Mast, discussions led to prayer meetings. I love that. Discussions led to prayer meetings about what to do. Some members opposed starting a new congregation, seeing the step as a split of the congregation. However, after more prayer and discernment, four couples were commissioned on September 7th, 1980. The pastoral couple, Harold and Twyla Buckwalter, Wayne and Levina Miller, Virgil and Sylvia Miller, and David and Pauline Zook, who are sitting here before you. The group named the congregation Upper Room Chapel and began public Sunday worship services in the new office building of the Virginia Door Company in the Greenbrier area of Chesapeake. Later, the worship location moved to Ray Berge's Insurance Company office on Speedy Avenue, several miles closer to Virginia Beach. That's pretty cool. And then we have a wonderful picture here of Jerry Miller. I love this picture. This is the groundbreaking picture of this property here in 1985 when they started to build, correct? And you'll see the stone out front, 1989 is when it completed. So Dave and Pauline, take us back to that time there. Like, what was going through your heads? Why in the world would you want to be part of the congregation had four couples and a pastor, or three couples and a pastor. Why would you want to be a part of that?
That's a good question. Well, you said it well this morning when you, in the announcements, I was raised up in the Amish church, very strict, very, very strict. Grew up in the Mennonite church, was just about as strict. And God gave me a vision, I think, back then. I lived a little bit on the wild side.
You did.
I was on probation at church, and I got thinking, why do I have to prove myself outside the church before I can be a member of the church? Is that what church is all about? And so we got married, we moved in Florida, and we was part of a very active Sunday school, bunch of young couples. That was back in the Jesus movement, and we was also very active in a small group at the time, and that just sort of reinforced what I was thinking. Why do you have to be in a certain live a certain life before you can become a member of the church. Why isn't the church open to accept you and teach you and disciple you? And so we moved up here, and we was in a small group, and Bishop Philip Miller and Robert really had a lot of the same vision, so we sort of connected, and that's sort of the foundation for the vision when we first got together and started. So,
do you have anything to add to that, Pauline?
Well, you ask why we would do it, and I'm thinking, were we a little bit crazy? Yes. A lot of faith. You know, when you start something like that, you have to really rely on God and know that he's in it. So, the scripture that was given to us when we were commissioned came from Mark 6 and Mark 7. Mark 6, there's a heading in the NIV that says, a prophet without honor. And it talked about Jesus' miracles and everything that he did. And then at the end of that chapter, get my glasses on here so I can read. I have it all underlined here, or a line all around this scripture. It says, wherever he went in the villages and cities and out in the farms, they laid the sick in the market plazas and streets and begged him to let them at least touch the fringes of his clothes. And as many as touched him were healed. And one day some of the Jewish leaders arrived from Jerusalem to investigate him and noticed that some of his disciples failed to follow the usual Jewish rituals before eating. So those were some of the things, you know, that David talked about. Kind of, although they are good, they won't necessarily get you to heaven. The traditions of man. And so what we were looking for was somewhere that we could worship freely, be involved in missions, and get away from maybe more the traditions of man and continue to follow the commands of God. So a disclaimer, I'm not saying that the people that went to church at Mount Pleasant were not godly, because that is simply not true. It was just a different mode of worship that we were looking for, and a little more acceptance of people in the marketplace. I know if you go, I don't know how many of you are observers of people, but when I go to the mall or even the grocery store, look around, and you see all varieties, and that's kind of what we wanted. Something that's not your ordinary, traditional, but we wanted inclusion, godliness, and a more free way of worshiping. And the rest of that commissioning scripture goes all the way through Luke 7 to the end. I think it's verse 23 where it ends, but it basically talks about the traditions of man versus the commands of God and godliness. So,
yeah. Isn't that amazing? So,
I'd like to add one more thing, yeah, if I could, as a challenge. I'm sort of an introvert. I don't like to speak in public. And I argued with God during that time, a long time. I said, man, I can't express myself for people to understand what I'm trying to say. And he challenged me with this. I'll never forget it. He says, well, I called Moses, but I give Aaron the duty to speak for you. So God kind of gave him a wife to
talk. I love that. I just wanted to mention what Pauline said. So that was the vision and the foundation. And, I mean, we came here 6 years ago, and we experienced that love, that acceptance, wherever we're at, that just like I talked about this morning. It's amazing for a group of people to be able to carry that for 45 years, with all the different kinds of people in and out, the government, the culture, to be able to hold that through for 45 years is so amazing. And that's why I wanted to ask Jerry. So you came here, what, five years ago? Or, I mean, in 85? He and Mary Ellen. Mary Ellen is in the kitchen, and she likes to be there. So we'll just have Jerry today. But in 1985, you were here. And what are some of the values, besides what Pauline mentioned, that has been a thread throughout this ministry, this whole time, that you have seen?
I was involved in different ministries over the years, from education to international student ministry. And when Mary Ellen and I were married in 83 and we moved back into this area, we were attracted to the worship. We were attracted to the outreach. Our pastor was a chaplain down on the docks and brought internationals from the ships right to church in times, and we heard lots of stories about just living out the gospel. And so when we started, joined the group in 85, I was in a period of transition, and I was asking God, you know, for a job that would challenge me. And at that time, Virginia Beach was growing by leaps and bounds. There were like 1,000 people moving into Virginia Beach every month, new people. So this whole community was just starting to grow. And I was offered a job in the Virginia Beach School Public System. And I was challenged driving from my home to over near Lynn Haven Mall at Plaza Junior High School. I had two traffic lights and a couple stop signs. And in the time since, we have this whole area has just mushroomed. God planted me then at Lansdowne Middle School. And so I was right in this community, and it was like this was just an open door for growing. And we were challenged by our second pastor to a phrase that he chose for us: unity in essentials, diversity in non-essentials, and in all things, love. And I think he changed that word to Jesus, in all things Jesus. That was really our growing point. We had lots of people that came here for short periods of time and then were sent out, either by the Navy or by other choices. Regent University was just starting to blossom. So it was a time when we were drawn together around Jesus, and that was a real drawing point for us. Not only that, but missions. You know, if you are ingrown and you're only focusing on yourself, that is immature. And so we started getting involved in places around the world that were just amazing. China, Costa Rica, Ukraine. Yeah, those areas in the world that there's a need for the gospel to penetrate. And we were, if you go back and look at the posters, there's a scrapbook back there on our history of missions outreach. And you'll see how many people that were sent out. And so they're not here today because they've been sent out. You know, that's just part of natural growth. So that was a challenge.
That's so good. I love that. So we have accepting people. We have missions. We have just the diversity. I mean, just look around. Just look at the person next to you. I mean, they don't even look like you, right? They might not even dress like you. I mean, in every nation, how many of us speak two or three languages? It's beautiful. And to have that value still here, 45 years later, that's Jesus. But, like I said at the beginning, it is the sweat and the tears and the prayers and the sore knees of these people and so many others who have invested in your future, in you. And so we honor you. We honor everybody out there, those that are watching, that have invested in this ministry, in the body of Jesus. And it's for me, I am always challenged at this time of the month. What can I do to continue this? Right? What can I do so that in a year from now, 5 years from now, people that walk in, for them to still feel that love, that acceptance, that necessity to serve, to be involved in missions, a mission that's greater than yourself. Like I said at the beginning, we're told by this world that we're the best. No, 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 no. You're going to die unhappy. The most satisfied, happy people are those that are serving, those that give of themselves to a mission and to a call. So what can we do? What can we do to continue on the legacy? Of course, the foundation is Jesus, but they have built on the foundation of Jesus. And so how are we building on that? That would be my challenge and my question to everybody. Do you have any closing thoughts?
Yeah, I would just challenge you to be obedient even if you don't feel worthy.
Also, for those of you who are new here, we met in office buildings like she read for a number of years, and finally we got serious about praying for a central location in Virginia Beach. A lot of the office buildings that were actually that we actually met in were in Chesapeake, and we knew that we were supposed to be here, and we started praying for land. And at that time we owned a construction company and worked very closely many times with a developer named R.G. Moore. And so my husband went to him. Do you want to tell them?
Well, now I got to talk again. No, we had a prayer meeting at our house one night. And I don't know, I met with him. I used to buy a lot of lots from him in the area here, and I met with him. What, the same week, or it was only a few days later, and I mentioned that we were looking for a church. He said, well, I got a piece of property down on lands on Dam Neck and Monet. He said, I'll give it to you if you promise me there will be a church there. So I went to our overseer, our bishop, and I told him, and in fact, I called him one night, and there was a silence for a long time. I thought the guy had fell asleep. And finally he come back on. He said, really? Are you serious? And so we put out the word on the conference that we were building a church and told them that we had the land, but the land wasn't going to be deeded to us until we started building the church. And sad to say, took a little while to convince people that we were really serious that it would happen, because they just couldn't believe that this was a very valuable piece of property at the time too. So anyways, as I said before, you know, be obedient and things will work out.
Go ahead, Keith.
I think back to the time when we were still building these walls. And we were talking about what would be the name of a fellowship that would be representing who we really wanted to be. And the word community came up, that we really wanted to be a part of the community because this plot of land was donated for this community. And so over the years, as we have as we've had different pastors, our emphasis has always been, this is a church for this area, for the community. It is, and so when we changed the name to Restoration, we wanted it to be a continuation of that commitment that we want to be involved in people's lives and not just focus on ourselves.
So they've created a beautiful place for us to grow and to do what God has called you to do. So if you look around and you don't see something being done or a ministry is not here, maybe the Holy Spirit is asking you to start it, right? This is not a church where you just come and attend and everybody does everything and you just sit. No, everyone's got a place. Everyone's got a calling. Everybody can do what God has called them to do. Even if it's not here yet, you can actually grow it. That's amazing, right? All right. Well, let's give these guys a clap. Thank you so much. We appreciate it.
Put this verse on the screen. I want to ask Vic, welcome back, man. He's been traveling. So, yeah, welcome back. It's good to have you. And one of the reason we do this, check. One of the reason we do this, it's, you know, sometimes people wants to throw away the past. I believe, check, is this mic ready? I believe the Lord brought us here, and I tell you, this is, I couldn't be planted anywhere else, looking at what God is doing and knowing who we are. I feel like I couldn't be planted anywhere else, and I thank God for...
About now, can you hear me now? So yeah, so I'm very thankful for the Lord, and... Look at this verse. What does it say? It says, those who sacrifice thanksgiving honors me. And to the blameless, I will show my salvation. But the first part of the verse, it says, those who sacrifice thanksgiving. So Kendra and I, we look back. We honor the fact that we still have people who God brought here to start this church. That's honor. And honor is part of our culture. We live in a culture we create here in this church. Our philosophy is love, acceptance, forgiveness, and we live. That creates a culture of honor. So therefore, I mean, Dave, he's one of my counselors. You know, I consider him as an elder, even though he's not a physical elder. But he's my elder, all right? Jerry, man, I am so thankful for Jerry. Because these guys, they've been here forever, and I want to honor, and I want to look and listen to what God have been saying. Because I don't think God wants to change vision. And I see what he's giving me, and I'm aligning, I'm comparing what he's giving me to what he's been speaking here. And I'm like, okay, Lord, I am on track. So that's why today... we took time this month to honor our history. This church, you new people, newer people, you're part of something big. This church's got backbones. Amen? And I thank God for that. So I'm going to ask Dr. Vic, he's going to pray a special prayer of blessing as we move forward and also thank God for these 45 years. Come on here, brother. Last 45 years. Join me and Vic in praying in that way. Thank you, Jesus.
Let's bow down our heads in prayer. Father, we'll thank you for the blessing of this house.
Yes, Lord.
What a joy just to hear the history and how you started this, and all the many people that you've used to plant the seed here. for not just the Lansdowne community, but also for the broader community beyond Virginia Beach.
Yes.
It is such a blessing to see what you've done and you continue to do. And we thank you, Lord, for your servants who you've used to plant this mission. And we thank you for all those that you've used to water and you continue to water in this house. Lord, we pray for your blessings.
Yes, Lord.
We pray, Lord, may the windows of heaven be opened over this house.
Yes, Father.
Lord, we pray, Lord, for anyone that is trusting you for healing and restoration, that by stepping into this house, that there will be deliverance for them.
Yes, Lord.
Anyone, Lord, that is looking up to you and trusting you for something just by virtue of being in this house, we pray, Lord, that you will visit them.
Yes, Father.
Lord, we pray, Lord, for the leadership. We pray that you continue to strengthen and grow this church. Thank you for your servant who you've been using, Lord, to lead this mission in such a time as this.
Yes, Jesus.
Lord, we ask, Lord Jesus, for your hand over this house.
Yes.
We look up to the hills from where comes our help.
Yes.
Our help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Lord, we don't look to man. We don't look to our culture. We don't look to whatever that's happening in the world.
Yes,
but we look up to
you.
We'll continue to fix our eyes on you, the author and the finisher of our faith.
Yes,
and so, Lord, we ask for your power and your continued anointing in this house.
Yes.
Whatever plans of the enemy.
Oh, we come against it.
Lord, we come against it right now.
Yes, Lord.
This is your mission.
Yes,
and this day, Lord, we recommit it to you. If it's not been said before, the gates of hell cannot prevail against what you're doing.
No.
And therefore, Lord, we know that this mission, this commission, will continue to grow from strength to strength.
Yes, Father.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
And we pray, Lord, that you energize in our spirit right now. We pray, Lord, that you activate something in our spirit so that we can see that we are part of something greater than us. That we are part of the intergalactic connection of sins that have come before us and still existing to this day, that have poured out themselves to the gospel.
Yes, Father.
And Lord, as we start here in Virginia Beach, we pray, Lord, that our voice, we pray, Lord, for that our reach, that our impact will go beyond this place.
Thank you, Father.
And we give you the praise. And we thank you for the open heaven.
Yes.
And we thank you for what you will do and continue to do in this house. To the glory of your name.
That's right.
And may the saints of God say,
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you. Amen. Come on, give Jesus a plane. That's right. Oh, this is good stuff. You know, so as for me and my house and God's house, we will continue to lift up the name of Jesus. And I was talking to Angie yesterday, and we were having this conversation. And I said, you know what? Restoration Church, once again, is Christ's church, because sometimes, you know, you have a ministry that starts on the right track, but then because of culture, and Vic, you prayed it, because of culture or pressure, you know, I mean, or people, even people, sometimes you have somebody who comes to a church and they have their own agenda for the church, or they like the ministry, but they have different ideas and they want the pastor to kind of step in doing different things. But let me break this to you. One thing I know, if you know me, I am all about Jesus, and I know Jesus is the only hope for our world, for my life, for this church. If Jesus is not here, we've got nothing. If the Holy Spirit, if you're not giving room to the Holy Spirit in your personal life, I can talk to you from January to the next January, you will remain the same. But if you take to heart the word of God that's being preached, that's being going forth, here, you take it to heart. If you take to heart what God is speaking to you and you obey, you repent of your sin, you repent of your stubbornness, you know what's going to happen? We will have an alive church. And that's what I want. Okay, that's what I want. If I don't want you to be comfortable here. I want you, the word of God is very offensive. The word of God judge me. The word of God is a mirror. When I look into the mirror, you know what happened? This morning, I almost came here without washing my face. I'm serious. I am serious. You're like, how is that possible? Because I'm not a woman. No offense. This is not offense. This is a joke. It's, you know? Oh, I'm not like some of the other guys. You know? I know some. This could be very offensive to some of you ladies. But it's just a joke, okay? That's joke box, okay? Don't be so serious. Come on, laugh a little. Okay? Okay? Because you're like, man, I can't believe he said that. It's a joke. Laugh. Okay? But seriously, I was just, you know, I was doing my studying, whatever. And then before you knew, you know, this morning it was a little dark and overcast. And then before you know it, I'm like, it's 7:40. Man, I'm usually here by 7:40. You know, and quick, put my clothes on, whatever. And I'm walking out. And I'm like, oh, I didn't wash my face. I didn't wash my face. You know? But I love the word of God because it's like that mirror. Because I walk by my mirror, I'm like, and thank God I have toothpaste and a toothbrush in my office because this is where I brush my teeth. I did. Because I quick wash my face, but man, I forgot to brush my teeth. I was running late, you know, you get it. So this mirror, we must remain in it. You know, so therefore, you know, I thank God for our cell phone. But if for the next couple of minutes you are on your phone and you're using the Bible app on this phone, thank God. But one of the reasons I strongly encourage you to have a Bible, bring your Bible to church, have a personal relationship with your Bible, there is no distraction in these pages. You know, and if you are weak like me, believe me, there's a lot of distraction on here. And sometimes I try to do my research on here. Thank God. I mean, they're good tools. I'm not banishing phones or your tablet. I'm not doing that. But I am challenging you, even right now, if you are here and you're using your cell phone as the Bible, in the Bible app on your cell phone, put it on Do Not Disturb or something like that. Okay? So, the gates of hell will not prevail against this church, and I thank God for that, because this church was built on the foundation of the apostles. All right, so for the next couple of minutes, I want to take this time to share with you. Please go back and listen to what Robert talked about last week, which is forgiveness. Forgiveness is one of our philosophy. If you read the book from Matthew chapter 7, verse 22, it says, this is what it says. It says, not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, these are the word of Jesus. Matthew 7, 22. There's a warning here. Matthew 7, 22. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy? You know, the word prophecy here, when you studied this, it talks about revealing the mind of Christ. How awesome would that be, right? For you to be so intimate with God, to know exactly what God is thinking. And then God is giving you his mind, and you can share God's mind to others. Amen? That's awesome. But it is possible. We do have the mind of Christ, as a matter of fact. The Bible says it. But these are the word of Christ. It says, many will come to me on that day at the end. They will say, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name? Or in your name, drive out demons? Man, how amazing. I have driven out demons before. I have seen demon manifest. I have seen demon possess people. You probably have also seen some of those things. In your name perform many miracles. Then I will tell them plainly, ooh, I never knew you. Depart from me, you evildoers. Now, if you go back to, is that verse 20, is that verse 26? Because the verse 22 says, not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter. Actually, no, it's the same thing. It's the NIV says, not everyone who say, call out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. So evildoers. And I was thinking this week, one thing about, I'll talk about two things. Evildoers, when you harbor unforgiveness in your heart, that goes to being evil. Because what happened? Robert said last week, I love what he said. He said, carrying bitterness is like serving sentence, being in jail for someone else. Or it's like drinking poison, expecting the other person to die. So if whatever you're carrying in your life, when it comes to however you're carrying, when it comes to unforgiveness, people who hurt you, I want us as citizens of heaven here in this church, I want you to be free from bitterness. We wouldn't have time right now if I could share with you how many times I've been hurt in the church, especially as a pastor. Me, I'm very pastoral. My gift is pastoral. I mean, I am a worship leader, but I've got other gifts. But my calling is a pastor, so I'm very pastoral. I care for people. You know what happens when you care for people too much sometimes? But there is no such a thing in the Lord. You cannot care for people too much. But when you get hurt, when people either misunderstand you, you give yourself, you're serving, you know, and then people think you have ulterior motives or they misjudge. Man, guys, I've been hurt in the church, but just like I've been hurt in the hospital. Do we go back? Yeah. We've been hurt. Doctors lie to us. My wife's been hurt at the hospital. Next time she's sick, guess where I take her? To the hospital. She needs the hospital. But then we have people, you know, they say they're not going to go to church because they've been hurt in church. If you are here and you've been hurt in the church, you got to forgive and let it go, or you're going to get stuck and miss heaven. Because sometimes you're like, well, I'm not doing this big sin. I'm not doing this, you know, because we try to categorize sin. I'm not stealing. I'm not lying. I'm not cheating. You know, I remain faithful to my mate, you know. And you have this list. But, man, your heart is hard when it comes to forgiving other people. Some people, they cannot move past the fact that their pastor failed the office. Oh, you know, their pastor fell in sin. They cannot move forward. They're like, oh, we don't want, you know what they say? I hear that. We don't want to go to church because church people are hypocritical. The church is like a hospital. The good thing is we all getting better. Because when you think about it, if you go to a hospital, you don't get better, you're dead. Can I have an amen? Amen. Seriously, if anyone is in Christ, that's why when you come to church, when we come in Christ, that's why you see people who grew up in church but were never in Jesus. You know what happened to them? When they become 18, 20, or they go to college, the spirit of the world eats them up. That's why I talk to all of you young people here, young adults, make sure you have Jesus. Do you know Jesus? Do you know Jesus? I'm not just talking about you young people, even you older people. Are you in Jesus? Because the world will eat you alive. It's not enough to just go to church. It's not enough to just go to church. Are you in Jesus? Because if you are in Jesus, in this hospital culture, the church, you know what's going to happen? If you're giving room to the Holy Spirit, He will transform you. You will become a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17. And that's why I'm not ashamed of the gospel. That's what Paul talks about. Because I look in my own life, I see if anyone is in Christ. You see what happened to that person? They become a new creation. It's on a daily basis, right? Because the more I dedicate, the more I offer my body, my soul to Jesus, the more I dwell in the Word, the more I get to discern His will, and the more I become like Him. You know, last week, again, I had the opportunity to go visit my father. And me and my younger brother, we are having this awesome discussion about how does he move forward to forgiving our dad because of so past hurt and stuff. Thank God I've moved forward. I forgive my dad. My dad never asked for forgiveness, but one of my youngest brother, he's like, you know what? If he would say I'm sorry, this would really help me heal. But unless somebody can bend their knees before the Lord, they can't bend their knees before people because of pride, because of arrogance. But when you and I are able to bend our knees before the Lord to recognize that God is God, man, please forgive me. My dad can't say that. He looked at us, me and another brother. He said, I'll never. And I look at the rage in his face. He said, I'll never apologize. So what do you do with somebody like that? You got to forgive him. Yes, you pray for them. But you got to forgive him and treat them. Give them grace and mercy. And do not ask the Holy Spirit to come help you to do that, because the Holy Spirit will not come and help you do that. Because the Holy Spirit is not like the voodoo spirit of Halloween. The Holy Spirit gives you self-control, the ability to choose. The ability to choose. The Holy Spirit will not come and force you or help you forgive. You have to choose to forgive. Forgiveness is a choice. Don't pray for it. Don't ask the Lord, please, Jesus, help me forgive. Give me forgiveness. No, it's a choice. Yes. How do I know? I've chosen. I'm not talking about something I read in the book. I have so many reasons to hate my father. Even last week again. Because last week, of course, I had this awesome conversation with my younger brother. The Lord opened my youngest brother's heart. He's like, well, I think I might be ready to go see him, but you would need to come with me. I'm like, okay, awesome. That's like, man, Lord, bless are the peacemaker, all right? Because I'm working for peace between him and my dad and stuff. So I'm there. I'm talking to my dad. I was like, Dad, you know, if you could only, you don't have to mean it. Right? Because really, at this time, I realized my dad needs a miracle in his heart. And my brother also needs a miracle. But I realized my brother, he's more open than my dad. My brother is open to forgive my dad. He just want to hear, okay, son, I was wrong. Whether he means it or not. But I feel like that would open my brother's heart to begin to accept to forgive him. And then I'm talking to dad. I'm like, Dad. Guys, my dad's sitting down. I went like this. I went on my knees. I'm like, Dad, if you could only acknowledge that you've hurt us as kids. I said, you don't have to do it to me. I forgive you. But the others, the younger ones, they hate you, the girls, my sisters. And I see, you see your parents. When your parents hurt you, you have to forgive them. Because if we don't honor our parents, there's a curse over our lives. Now, God will judge our parents. But when it comes to us children, we must forgive them. And my dad, him and his mother, he hated his mother. His mother died. And he never had relationship with his mom. So there is a curse over the family. That me, as a Francois, broke the curse. I broke the curse. Because in my family, everybody hate each other. Nobody's talking to each other. But thank God, Jesus just revolutionize my mind with the kingdom. I'm like, I don't want that curse to keep flowing in my own family. I'm going to break it. And that's what I did. So therefore now I'm talking to my siblings to help them understand we can't continue under this curse. That's why you're not blessed, because you're carrying dad's issues. You're carrying the fact he hurt you. He wasn't there. You know, you suffer. You know, there was so much misery. But the gospel is greater than all that. I spent, about 45 minutes to an hour just trying to convince my dad to just say, hey, dad. I said, I've talked to, because the reason I talked to him about that, it's because he's always asking for my brother. I said, my youngest brother. He's always asking me, so have you heard from so-and-so? I said, oh, yeah. As a matter of fact, I was with him last month. And this is what happened. And he's considering to come and see you. But let me tell you this. Not everybody is where I'm at. And still, guys, I had in that moment choose to forgive my dad. Because he couldn't say, what did I do wrong? I said, this is what you did wrong, this is what you did wrong, this is what you did wrong. Just to acknowledge. You know, so, and I'm very thankful that Robert took the time to talk about that. Because here are some steps to continue to cultivate the spirit of forgiveness. You got to confess the symptom and acknowledge the symptom. You need to acknowledge the symptom. Both parties. You need to acknowledge, hey, I'm hurt here. And I know there are marriages. It doesn't matter how long you married. If you're applying the gospel, there's still hope for restitution. Okay? Acknowledge the hurt. Acknowledge that, bitterness, unforgiveness is sin. Aw, Nathan. Here's another one. Here's another. And I seriously want, of course, forgiveness is a daily choice. I mean, like I said, last week, again, I had to forgive my dad. I said, I forgive him, because if I don't, I'm going to go away bitter, because I'm like, man, the guy is not changing. I pray for him, you know, but I love him. I help him. Does he deserve honor? No. But do I honor him? Yes. That's my choice. Here's another one. When someone hurts you, pray for them. And this is where it's hard. This person that's hurt your family, your life, you start praying for, Lord, I bless my dad. Lord, Father, bring him to repentance. Father, keep him healthy. Lord, just bless him, Father. You know, if it's your parents, like in my dad's case, I give him money. I help with his rent. Do I want to do that? No! I file for residency for him. Do I want to do that? No! I want him to suffer. And I told you this story where the Holy Spirit really convicted me, because my dad was having a fallout with one of his sisters, and then that sister was very mean to him. When I find out, I was just so happy. Me and my brother, we were like, yes, man, finally, somebody's teaching him. Somebody's really giving it to him. And then the Holy Spirit is like, man, that's not my heart. You pray for your enemy. You bless your enemy. You don't rejoice in your enemy's suffering. That's when I'm like, oh, Jesus, man, my heart's so evil. Lord, have mercy on me, Lord. Your husband left you with your kids. Your wife left you, whatever it is. Can you forgive that person? I mean, we watch the whole last month, the Charlie Kirk getting shot, all right? I mean, it's tragic. It doesn't matter how the person talk or their view. It doesn't matter. Nobody deserves to die for their opinion. Nobody. But can you imagine the courage the wife had to stand in front of millions to literally say, this young man, I forgive him. I mean, of course, she's going to have to choose to forgive this young man for the rest of her life. But you know what it takes? It takes a godly person to acknowledge, I am hurt here. You took the most, this person took the most precious things in my life, in my children's life, but yet the word of God says, I must forgive him and for her to bear witness. And that's the choice I think I know we all have. All right, so I'll come back to that, but I want to touch another subject that goes with Matthew chapter 7, and I'll finish with that. It's evildoers. Evildoers also goes together with witchcraft. You know, there's so much questions we could ask. For example, what is the spiritual truth behind Halloween? In Haiti, they call it Gede, right? The spirit of Gede. What is Gede? Now, when you go and study Halloween, it didn't start as a, I mean, it's a pagan holiday that a lot of other sect, which one of the sect, they call them the satanism, the you know, people who worship Satan. Now let's read this story to see what happened in Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5 on NIV, it says, a demon-possessed man healed. Then they came on the other side of the sea to the country of the Gadarenes. Gerasenes. And when he had come out of the boat, talking about Jesus, immediately there met him out of the tombs, you should underline that in your Bible, a man with an unclean spirit. And I don't know, I remember when I was growing up, or maybe, let me ask you this, has any of you ever take a walk to the cemetery? Cemetery, did I say it right? Cemetery? Cemetery. Cemetery. Most of the time, we don't go for a stroll in a cemetery. No, we don't do that. You know, sometimes we go to the cemetery to go and pay a visit to our past loved ones, right? To go visit their tombs, put flowers, which is good. You know, I see people do that. All right? But nobody, I mean, and I tell you, the crazy people, the unclean spirit people lives in the tombs, amongst the tombs. But now in this story, verse 3, it says, a man with an unclean spirit who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one could bind him, not even with chains, because he had been often bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been pulled apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces. Neither could anyone tame him. Verse 5. And always night and day he was in the mountains and again the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stone. I remember growing up, maybe Jonathan will remember this. You might remember this because I know you grew up in Corfu a little bit, right? Kind of the same city I grew up. There is a guy, he lived among the tombs, and he would walk. Every day he would scream, Monsieur, 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 Monsieur. You remember that? Huh? So the guy is possessed. He lives among the tombs. So every day he would call, Mister, 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 Mister. Hey, sir, 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 sir. Every day. Can you imagine? Every day, guys. 24 hours. Every time we see him, it doesn't matter what time of the day. This guy, everybody knew he was demon-possessed because he would walk the street. Mr. Hey, sir, sir, sir! Just like that. Monsieur, 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 monsieur. Monsieur. He was demon-possessed. Where does he live? Among the tombs. That's what was happening here in Mark chapter 5. This guy, he was demon-possessed and he was calling monsieur, monsieur, monsieur. Mm-hmm. Monsieur. Your French word for today is monsieur. Mister. So, not only that, he would cut himself. But, Thank God, verse 6, when he saw Jesus from afar, and listen to this, and this is the attitude I want you to have when you walk your community. Because the Spirit of Jesus lives within you, it says, when the men who would shout out, Mr., 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 from the tombs, saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshiped him. So as I walk my community with the Holy Spirit, there's a great opportunity you and I have to intercede for our neighbors. Knowledge is power. The Word of God says, my people are perishing because of lack of knowledge. Because there are certain things we do because we just don't know. We do things, stupid things, crazy things because we don't know. But when we know, knowledge is power, right? Amen? So that's the attitude. I want you to start seeing yourself like that. And he cried out with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God that do not torment me. For he said to him, Jesus said to him, come out. As I walk my community, I want you to see something. Put pictures number one on the screen. You know, and I said, I don't want to show this online because I want this to be a local thing. You know, but put the first picture. Now, witch doctor, voodoo is real in Haiti, okay? And not only in Haiti, here in Africa and other places. And when you study the history, go and study that, the history of Halloween. And this is what it looks like in a voodoo temple. Picture number one is coming up. Let's see, because I want you to hear. Okay? Let's quick go to picture number two so we don't keep this in your image. Picture number two. Okay? Okay, now, this is what they do. October 31st, November 1st, and November 2nd, what they call the Gede Day, the Gede Days, where there is a thin opening between the spiritual realm. You know, like in during Halloween, if you do your research, there's a lot of waves. There's a lot of people, they have nightmare. That's why I hope that the presence of God is so tangible in your life. If you try, like watching like a vampire movie, scary movie. I mean, those things, the Bible, the Word of God, Ephesians, there's tons of verse. It says, you do not take part of those things. You don't go and walk through the tunnel of death. Listen to it. What they call it? Tunnel of death. Terror of death? Or terror, or tunnel. But I'm thinking like, yeah, a scream tunnel. I'm like, oh man, I'm not afraid of the devil. I'm just going to go and entertain myself. Like, just like life is not scary enough. And then now you wonder why you're having nightmare. You wonder why in the name. I mean, I actually know people who goes to church. That's why I'm planting the seed in your life. That God, the Holy Spirit of God, would make you allergic to the deeds of darkness. These things are deeds of darkness. People don't know they're opening up themselves. They're opening up their life, their children's life, for demonic influence. Demonic influence. And you ask, you wonder why people's life are so crazy and so depressed. They're lifeless. Why would you? Come on, guys. Has anybody ever celebrate when your loved one's dead? Even though you know they go to heaven? Death. Thank God Jesus came and took over the key of death. It's like death. Oh, where's your sting? Because death hurt. So if death hurts so much, there's nothing that keeps us so hopeless and hopeless. I mean, not hopeless, helpless. Helpless than death. You see people, you see somebody cry and you're like, I mean, I cry when I see people cry over the passing of their loved one. You know, our brother Walt, 64 years, he was married with Nancy. I was there. 20, 30 minutes, we were there before she was totally gone. It hurt me to watch Walt. We pray for him. We pray that God heal his heart. But Nancy wasn't well for a good 6 months. So you would think, he would get used to it. There's no get used to it. You would think, but man, I'm watching him and I'm like, he had his face so close to Nancy. He's just like, oh, I mean, he's holding her hand. And I'm like, man, I feel helpless. So why? Thank God that she's at a better place, right? Now she leaves us behind here. She's rejoicing, you know. Now we better hold on so we finish strong. We better hold on so we finish strong. Because it's not how you started. It's how you finish. And none of us knows. Most of us, we don't know we're going to finish like Nancy dying on our deathbed, you know, our children surrounding us, our grandchildren, really? How do we know? This afternoon is not promised. So it is today. You live in the light. Today you live in the fear of the Lord. Today, listen, you like we prayed. Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I live for you alone. So whatever's holding you back, this whole spirit of Gede, it's Halloween. Don't give in to it. Do not celebrate it. You intercede. Picture number three. Give me picture number three. So people goes into, and guys, this is a voodoo temple. And people, October 31st, November, you can remove it. Yeah, you see, we can't watch it. Now, give me picture number four. I always picture number three. Okay. So now people, they would go and wake up the dead. Mm-hmm. Give me, okay, now picture number five. You see, some of you can't even watch those things. But that's what's around you. I want you to drive around and see some of your neighbors. So that's a witch doctor, that's a voodoo temple. Now give me yard number one. This is somebody's yard. I drove it and I took that picture the other day. Give me yard number two. Okay, all right, you can get rid of those pictures. So when you understand the difference, and when you understand there is a relationship between the natural world and the spiritual world, and you understand everything, a lot of people can be affected by the spirit realm. You either be influenced by a good spirit, which is the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, or you being influenced by the devil's spirit, the spirit of what we call it, darkness. It's either the spirit of light or the spirit of darkness. So you come against it. This is a time where you pray. You say, God, they don't know what they're doing. My neighbor don't know what they're doing. Lord, just, Jesus, open up their eyes. When I walk, that's what I pray. I was like, okay, Lord, they don't know. I know. I guess maybe I'm a little more animate about it because I really know. You know, it's like I've seen it. That's the time. That's the time. October 31st, November 1st, November 1st and 2nd is the time if you want to cast a spell. Uh-huh. Listen to what it says in the Word. Uh-huh. I know. It's like, listen to what it says in Leviticus chapter 18. You can write it down. It says, God told Israel, you must not do as the other nations do. People who practice witchcraft. Listen to what it says in Deuteronomy chapter 12. It's verse 29. It says, God explicitly warned against copying other nations' worship or worshiping of other gods. You must not worship. You must worship the Lord your God alone. Or it says, hang on, let me read. It says, you must not worship the Lord your God in their ways. Because in worship their God, they do all kinds of detestable things that our Lord hates. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 20 says, the sacrifices of pagans are offered to demons, not to God. And I do not want you to be participant with demons. You cannot drink in the cup of the Lord and drink in the cup of demon. So certain concert over doing holidays. You know, like some of the screamo. Now, yeah, I'm going to go there. Some of those artists who do screamo, you know, like crazy songs. Do you, I mean, if you do your research, do you know, just like worship leader can be anointed, do you know, like, people in the world can be anointed by the devil? And then they actually make a pact with the devil. With this song, there's an anoint, a satanic anointing. I mean, let me tell, break it to you, or remind you, Satan is very anointed. That's why I come against the spirit of mediocrity in the church. Because we think because we're serving God, we can just lead worship mediocrily. In mediocrity. How do you say that? Mediocrity. You got it. Okay? God is a perfect God. He's excellent. He's the one that gave Lucifer who the ability. I mean, seriously, when you listen to some of those guys who are playing music in the world, they are anointed. That's why I believe God for anointed musicians. I pray. I spent time in the secret place. As a musician, I spent time in the secret place. I make a pact with the Holy Spirit to anoint me. So when I play my music, as I'm watching my kids, they are worship leaders. They are musicians. I challenged them. I said, well, it's not about the talent. Because you can have talent. It's dry talent. But if you are minister, if you learn to minister to the presence of the Lord by yourself, you and God, you know what's going to happen? God's going to rub on you. The oil's going to rub on you. And then you don't need a crowd. If you can worship, if you can lead worship in the sanctuary when no one is around, you don't have to worry about people coming in when they're in. Because the oil of the Holy Spirit will touch, will minister to hearts. Is that making sense, guys? You know, so this is my charge for you. From Leviticus 19:31 says, do not turn to mediums or necromancers. Do not seek them. I drive around, I see a lot of people advertising a medium, a palm reader service. I don't know if, you know, people seek those things. But yet, we have the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of wisdom, the Holy Spirit that can guide us, lead us, tell us how to be, tell us how to live our lives, mixed with the Word of God. People, they don't want that stuff. Oh, voodoo involves the worship of spirits and occult practices such what they call divination. I like those words because I know I'm in French. Divination, divino. It has another name for witch doctor. Witch doctor, they call them divino. Some people say, I'm so divino. I am a divinator. I read in the spirit. Some people make a pact with Satan. So between midnight and 3 o'clock, the spirit realm is open. So when people do voodoo sacrifice, or even when you pray, when you do like a prayer night, if you ever done a prayer night, between midnight and 3 o'clock, those are the time you the most tired. If you ever done a prayer, like an all-night prayer meeting, those are the time. But also, those are the time, if you understand spiritual warfare. Spiritual warfare. I mean, I tell you, most Christians now in our days, they don't understand spiritual warfare because we're always too tired. There are some a breakthrough in our lives that we will never, we can make it through it. There's a level of in the spirit. I tell you, I don't have words. I'm trying to say something. I can't speak. Because there is something about going after God in the middle of the night. That's why when you wake up in the morning, 3, 4, 2 in the morning, and like can't sleep, it's like, okay, Lord, what is it? And start praying for people. Start praying for the church. If you run out of people, please, this is a good time to pray for me. You remember that? 2 o'clock? When you've done praying for everybody else, it's like, all right, God, I still can't sleep. Oh, Pastor Ricardo, Lord, his family. Lord, anoint him. Lord Jesus, your church. God, let revival come. Amen? So I charge you in the next coming weeks. And then, of course, the last Friday, we're going to come in the spirit of intercession, in the spirit of worship, to be like, you know what, God? We raise the banner of the kingdom, the banner of light. Because these people, they don't know what they're doing. Because if they would know, they wouldn't do it. Seriously. Because now you know, I bet you won't do it. And I know most of you here, I have benefit of the doubt. I bet any of you is decorating your front yard as a graveyard. You know? Maybe I should drive around to check you out. But I might still do that. Let's stand. Oh, Jesus, I thank you. Thank you for your word, Father. Thank you that we have victory in the cross, Lord. Thank you for this. These, your sons and your daughters. Thank you that we don't have to be afraid anymore because you've won the battle on the cross. Thank you, Jesus, that we live in your light. Father, we are so thankful for the work you're doing here. Lord, I pray that you would also bless our, you know, our team back there, you know, Jesse and everybody else who are ministering to our kids, Father. Lord, be with them. Continue to pour into them, Father, as we invest into this next generation. Lord, as we go from this place, we pray that your rain would, the rain of your presence and the rain of your grace would continue to fall on us. We love you so much, Father, and we are so thankful. In Jesus' name I pray. And God's people said, amen. All right, well, now let's go have some good food. Amen? That's good.